影分身の術。
Hi, welcome to the Anime Bar. I'm Jimsta.
I'm Alley Cat.
And we're two friends who love anime, love cocktails, and decided to do a podcast all about it. Each month is a different anime, this month being Psycho Pass. And each week we have a different cocktail to go along with the episodes we just watched. So, Alley Cat, what's this week's cocktail?
This week's cocktail, we are combining Jaeger, Bailey's, and butterscotch to make a creamy drink while we hunt down Makishima through the oat fields in this week's episodes. Jimsta calls it Hyper Oats Cookie.
Yes. And this is a very thick cocktail, so you might want to just drink it as a shot. Just make a little shot glass of it and have a quick shot of it before you watch these episodes. Get you like all loosened up.
If you want to try out the recipe, it's posted on our TikTok at the Anime Bar.
And if you make this cocktail at home, we'd love to see your pictures. So stitch us on TikTok or tag us on Instagram or Twitter. Drink up and let's get started. This week, we are covering episodes 18 through 22. Be warned, there will be some spoilers. If you haven't seen any of these episodes yet, you can catch them on Funimation.
The following is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
Episode 18, A Promise Written on Water. The chief is putting our team back on the Makishima case, and Ginoza is trying to find a way to get Kogami back in the field.
So, we started off this episode was, y'all remember last episode, Makishima, you know, attacked the chief and then crashed the plane. So, this is where we start off in this episode. We have one of the robots. Ginoza's trying to get in to go, like, see the crash site. You know, the little robot things. They're blocking him, and they tell him that he doesn't have clearance,
which I think is weird because like this is his case. He was just there. The group was just there. Like, why not let him in?
Well, which is why he was so shook. He was like, what? What is this about? But then, you know, the chief who, I mean, technically we just saw die, but we already know the chief's a robot controlled by brains. So I guess it had another body, which still leads to like, why were they screaming so much when Makishima killed them?
I feel like that's just instinct. You know, like someone coming at, have you ever done any like VR stuff or walked through a haunted house and then like gone scared? I mean, you've experienced watching a scary movie with me and you see how tense I get and no one's even coming after me.
Yeah, but that's because you're a wimp. No, I'm kidding.
Whoa. Burns.
I mean, why couldn't they just like check out? Like they could have just like exited from that body or whatever and then like let him continue to beat it up. I don't know. I just feel like that's kind of a plot hole with this.
I have thoughts on that though. I mean, not to get off subject in the first couple minutes of the podcast, but when the brain goes into the body, it's like uploaded through a cable, but the brain is still in the hub. Mm-hmm. So like if we, I don't know, is the like what is uploaded into the body?
I don't know why you need like this physical thing in the body, but like electricity goes through a computer, but there's not like something physical in there, right? So they're just sending like their, like the brain is like electrical impulses, so they're just sending like whatever, the consciousness or whatever, into that body, but there's nothing.
So does that mean like, so if we say like the brain is a file and they mm-hmm. upload that file to the body, that mm-hmm. file is no longer in the brain area, it's in the body, even though the physical brain is over there? Is that kind of what, I don't know, I'm just guessing. Like I'm trying to,
it's like
reason,
it's like
why
streaming.
She was screaming.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the whole screaming thing was a little bit of a plot hole, but I imagine like this whole, the whole brain's working, especially with this chief's body, is just like streaming. They're streaming into something because they can take it over.
I guess maybe they're all in the cloud. Is the cloud still a thing at this time?
I mean, they don't talk about it, but I guess it is a cloud. I mean, the cloud control, because it's those brains are the ones that are doing the judgments for the Sybil system. So
I mean,
like the machines take the scan, and the scan's in the cloud, and then the brain processes that and then put it back out in the cloud. I don't know.
If we don't need the brain, like, because they don't need the brain in the chief to make it still function with that person's personality and all whatnot in the chief's body, robot body, then why do we need a giant building with a whole bunch of brains? Can't we just upload everything to one computer?
No, because the brains need to be kept alive.
I don't know. Maybe season two, or maybe the rest of this episodes will explain this. I've watched them all though, so we'll see.
So anyways, the chief pulls up and she tells him, like, like, you guys aren't on this case right now, or you can't get in. And she puts out this, like, it's obviously a lie. We know what happened. But she says, like, oh, well, the top people, we have this theory that somebody was a turncoat and helped Makishima escape. Which it's the whole true. Time I'm like, you lying bitch.
It's true. It's her.
She didn't help him escape, though.
She didn't stop him.
She couldn't. But then I hate that it's like they're still using Ginoza as like a scapegoat. And she's like, because, you know, obviously he argues, you know, against this. Like he's upset. And so she pretty much is like, I'm doing you a favor. Like I'm trying to get you to redeem yourself from Kogami, who she killed. I'm trying to get you to redeem yourself from Kogami escaping the division by, you know, putting you on this Makishima case.
You mean Kagura?
Kagari. Too many similar names.
Yes. Which... That whole situation upsets me. Like, I don't know. Her being like, he's escaped, and we all know the truth. I wish they wouldn't have let us know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that they made themselves look very suspicious with this whole Kagari thing and the way that, like, she was pushing it too much. I think she should have just let it go. Like, they could have just been like, oh, Kagari got killed in the battle with Shegu-san. So I think their cover-up just kind of screwed them over more. But she does say specifically that even though they're going to continue on the case, she does not want Kogami on the case because he wants to kill Makishima, and we already know they're trying to use Makishima, so they want him alive.
Yeah, Kogami can't be trusted with, like, he's too involved and everyone knows it. But man, this Chief is like not subtle at all. It's red flags everywhere. Everyone's like nodding their head yes when she's around, but when she leaves, everyone's like, so what's really up? What's going on? Everything seems very sus.
Yeah, Kogami is immediately kind of like suspicious of they call him the top brass in the show. So he, instead of like, because I expected him to be angry or something, but he keeps a level head throughout this whole show, and he immediately is just like, yeah, it seems like maybe the top brass like gave him a deal or they want to use him for something. He knows that Makishima is not going to be put through a trial or be punished.
He definitely is like, this, there is a conspiracy going on. It runs deep. He doesn't know exactly who the players are, but he's like, there is a reason they don't want Makishima dead, and he doesn't know why, but he's like, everyone's a suspect except for me kind of feeling.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like everyone kind of feels like that. So they're back at the building by this point, right? This show has a lot of talking. So they're back in the building, and like, you know, Kogami, since he's being pulled off this case and he's suspicious of the top brass, you can kind of tell like he has something like going on, like he maybe has a plan. And so at this point, Akane are talking, and she kind of she forces Kogami to promise her that he won't, as she puts it, act like a dog. She's like, are you not a detective? Like, why are you gonna act like a dog now? And she makes him promise that he won't kill Makishima, and so that he can be put through a fair trial, because she's still on this, like she's still stuck on her morals that like we don't need to break down and become killers ourselves, like we need to use the system.
Akane shocks me, but I shouldn't be surprised by whatever she does. It's just because like she's always on the side of the government. You can tell that like she has this distrust because of what happened with Makishima and the Dominator not working on him. She has this distrust of how everything's going down, but she can't like turn away from this system. I don't understand. She should be on Kogami's side.
To me, it feels like a little bit naive. Like she's like at this point, I don't think that she's as suspicious as everyone else that something shady is going on up at the top. So I feel like it's just like this naive belief, like the system works. The system is here for a reason, and it works, and we can still use it. And because even Kogami asked her, like, oh, what's that going to look like? You know, because they don't have judges anymore. They don't have courts anymore. They just rely on the civil system so much. So it's just like he's trying to like explain to her like this is going to take forever to even get him processed if they do that. But I mean, I feel like she has blind faith.
I guess. I just, after what happened to her friend, you know, her very beloved friend that she's known forever and hung out a billion times with, it just feels like, I don't know, maybe something's wrong.
I do sometimes. I'm like, it's a little, she's a little too forgiving of things, like, or except it's weird. And that's why I think one of the episodes, like I had asked, like, you know, know, is being like a good person or being whatever it is she is that like a thin line between being a psychopath that she doesn't, I mean, we know she has empathy, but it's almost like she can turn it off like so easily.
I mean, I wonder if this is part of like her being able to kind of, I know she doesn't control her hue, but her being able to kind of maintain a nice hue all the time.
That's true. I think that's why she is how she is. And then she's probably like, you know, I feel like that maybe she is like Makishima, but with more morals. So we have Ginza, you know, he's been in the middle of all of this, you know, between the chief and his team. You know, I know that he feels suspicious. So we have this scene with Makaoka and Ginza, and I feel like we see Makaoka kind of acting a little more. I think Makaoka knows something's going down. And when Ginza asks him, like, what should I do in this situation? He pretty much tells him, like, you should be the ball. Like, go back and forth between them and stay neutral. And that's how you're going to, like, that's how you're going to play this bureaucracy. Bureaucracy? I can't ever say that word. Anyway, that's how you're going to play this game in this thing. And he even tells him, like, you know, watch your back, son. Which I thought is, like, you know, we're getting a little more touching. Like, since we revealed that that's his father, he's starting to show it a little more.
I wonder if this is, like, a watch your back because, like, everyone, there's something going on in the department, or is it like watch your back because it's like you're getting really riled up about this case and, you know, you're getting too invested, and we all know if you get too invested into anything your coefficient goes up, and he doesn't want him to end up just like himself.
No, I definitely think it was a watch your back, something suspicious is going on, like, I because you're watching him be used as a scapegoat at this point, and Ginza is trying to find his way out of it and stay on top. So I think his dad, you know, Makaoka is just like, hey, like, just do what they want. Like, stop being so resistant. That's why he kept saying, like, be the ball. Like, just go with the flow on this so that you can survive.
Do you think, because we all know what, well, us who know what Kinoza does next, which is he comes up, he's like, Kogami cannot be, like, left out of this. So I'm going to find a way to get him into this state. Do you think the only, because that's going against what the chief asked or told him what to do. Is it because Makaoka told him, like, just be like, keep your nose to the ground, don't cause too much trouble, and he's like, well, then I'm gonna do the opposite. Is that because of it, or do you think he always had this plan in mind?
I think that, I mean, because at the end of that conversation he was like, you know, I didn't expect that you were gonna say that to me, or like something like that's useless advice or something. So he obviously didn't like what Makaoka told him because he expected different. I think Makaoka's always been the dude going against the grain, and now he's telling his son to go with it, and I feel like he's like, well, fuck you. Like, I'm gonna do it anyways.
And the plan he comes up with to get Kogami back on the case, pretty genius plan. Like, I wouldn't even thought of this.
I know. I kind of wish we got to see it, you know, get executed. And then it's weird, not weird, but even Division 2 was like, hey, something shady is going on. Like, I agree with this. It was like they have like a female leader on that side. So she was about to take Kogami in because even they know what's up and they're not that close to the case.
Yeah. So basically the plan is Team A gives Kogami out to Team B, and Team B gives Team A another enforcer. So basically they have like a little enforcer exchange program going on. But yeah. I mean, do you think there's only literally two teams in this whole police department?
It's no, not I think like, there's multiple teams.
There was only two teams in that meeting last week.
I mean, we don't know where they were. I honestly don't believe that it's only, because why would they even bother to do Division 1 and Division 2?
I don't know, just because we don't see any other people walking around this building.
That's a huge building for just like that small amount of people. There's like a lot of things going on behind scenes, but we're just following.
A lot is robots probably.
Yeah, but they still don't need a huge building.
I don't know. It just feels like a great plan. I didn't think of it, but like maybe exchange with like Division F or something, like a further letter away from you. Maybe the chief won't notice because.
Well, I don't know where you're getting the letters anyways.
You said A and B.
No, it's Division 1 and 2.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I did not say
you said A and B.
Well, someone said it and
you did.
I copied it. Fine. Division 1 is them and they could have switched with Division 12.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, the plan doesn't work out regardless. The robots kind of, you know, all crowd around them and they say, oh, around Kogami, and they're like, you're in violation of this thing. And the chief walks up and she's like, you really thought thought that you can pull something over on me. And then she has this moment, like, you can tell, like, she, you're right about, like, your statement earlier. She is not subtle at all. Just in, like, front of their eyes, she twists the narrative to say that Kogami is the one doing something wrong. He's trying to break the rules, so now he should be punished. Even though it was Ginza who, and the other leader, who came up with this plan and agreed to it, she's now pinning it on Kogami because she wants him dead. So much so that in front of everyone, she, like, touches the Dominator. Like, she makes Ginza point at it, at Kogami, and she's like, show me, like, basically show me that, like, you're loyal to us. And then she changes it from stun mode to lethal mode.
No one was like, whoa, what's going on? Like, everyone's watching this. Division 1 and Division 2 people are looking at this. They see her lay her hands on his, and then the gun basically malfunctions. And no one's like, what's going on? Everyone's just like, oh, this is very normal.
I know. I thought that's so weird. But you know what? Akane had a pretty badass moment. So she came off on the side and she shot Kogami first with her Dominator. And it, of course, his coefficient, she even says it, like, hey, like, somebody under 200 should only be set to stun. You should go check your, get your gun checked. And I thought that was, like, that was so badass. That was like the, like, confirmation that they know something is wrong, but they're going to play along.
Oh. Oh, it's definitely like a move. It's like a mic drop kind of thing. Like, I know something's up. I know you're, like, very suspicious, and you probably have something to do with all this something going on. And she's like, I'm playing by your rules. Because she basically was like, we stun the enforcers when they're out of the line. These are the rules, right? And man, mic drop, Akane. Very proud of her.
Yeah, I was really proud of her in this scene. And so later on, and I feel like everybody's just witnessed this happened. So now, if you thought something was wrong, now you know something is wrong with this whole organization. So Kogami goes to Shion, our tech lady, and, you know, he's asking her some questions, and he sees that she's got the helmet, like the machines are, like, working on it. She lets him know, you know, pretty much they have 6 days until, like, the system, they can come up with a way to counteract these helmets, and then they're pretty much useless. And he asks to borrow it. And I like, you see Shion, I feel like she was gonna tell him no at first, and then she had to, like, think about it for a moment, and then she's like, yeah, go ahead and take it. Like, as if she realized what he was about to do.
She did say, like, don't leave the building with this, please.
She did say that. But then before he walked out, she says, like, pretty much like, hey, you and I never slept with each other. Like, maybe I should have slept with you. So she knew he was leaving. Like, that's the, like, the last chance.
He also was like, it wouldn't have been a good fit.
Well, he said, yeah, together, we aren't each other's type. So I don't know if he means, like, because he's not a woman. Because we've only seen her, like, hooking up with Yaoi.
That's why I thought.
Yeah.
I feel like she's in a good relationship with her.
So once Kogami takes his helmet, he goes back to his room, and Makaoka is in his room, and they have a drink together. And Makaoka was going through his files and whatnot. And it kind of just leads into, it's a very, like, they're not going to say it, but Maka knows what Kogami is about to do or what he needs to do. And he gives him a pair of keys, and he was like, you know, I've kind of had this as a backup in case, you know, something was going down or I needed to get out of here. You know, it's like keys to a vehicle and keys to a safe house. And he tells Kogami, like, hey, before you leave, you know, he calls her little lady. You should ask, you know, basically Akane, you should let her know, which I thought was a kind of sweet for him to think of her.
It was a very touching moment, and you think he's going to, like, do that, but he doesn't. I mean, he does do it, but he does it in a letter, and I'm just like, what a cop out. Might as well just text her.
He did say he couldn't face her, so I guess, you know, because she would probably, because she's so hard-headed. Listen, main characters, right? They're so stubborn on their stuff that she would have insisted he stays. But I think it would have been stupid. If he stayed, they would have killed him for sure.
But she couldn't stop him. Like, I don't think she could have stopped him. Even at this point, when she shot him with the stun, like, Dominator. Oh my gosh. What's the tech lady's name again? Shion?
Oh, Shion. Mm-hmm.
Shion was like, she hit you in your fatty part, so it wouldn't hurt you.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know that she would have made it a big deal, and it might have been hard for him. Maybe it's hard for, you know, maybe he has feelings, or he respects her, or whatever it is that he cares so much about her for. I think it would have been hard for him to face her and say goodbye. So, he left a note for her, and his watch, and was like, pretty much in it, he said, look, when we see each other again, you know, he thinks, you know, to him, he's going to kill Makishima. So when they see each other again, she can go ahead and judge him with the Dominator as she sees fit. But I think that brings us into episode 19, Transparent Shadow. So the team is now after both Kogami and Makishima. Meanwhile, Kogami is trying to figure out Makishima's next move.
Okay, the safe house is, there's a moment in the safe house when he gets in, when Kogami gets in there, and I'm just like, oh, my heart breaks. Or like, it melts a little bit. Because we see Makaoka, a picture of him with a young Ginoza, and I'm like, oh, man, he really loves his son.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that he does, and he has a lot of regret for how things went down. But we have Kogami. The scene kind of opened up. There's that. And then there's all kind of, like, in this time, it would be old school, you know, things. But for us, it would be, like, it's modern day stuff. So there's a gun there, like one of those six-barrel shooter guns. And then, like, old school cars so that he can't be detected by the, you know, like, because if he tried to use a normal, one of the smart car things, then, like, they'd immediately find him. So Kogami's practicing quick loading with this gun, which I thought was kind of cool and pretty smart. Like, you don't want to be like the hunter guy with the two, you know, only two shots and then, you know, slowly reloading.
It felt very Western to me and I was enjoying it. And I was like, okay, he's kind of taking everything into his own hands. This is very like off the grid, no technology. But I feel like he's also kind of out in the open. It feels like he's living in a container, or that's where the safe house was.
It did. It looked like some kind of like warehouse district or something like that, like right against the river. And I was like, oof. Like, I guess good thing that like there's not like wanted posters or whatever up, because I feel like tons of people would have seen him. So then we flash over to Ginoza. He's in his therapy appointment, and his therapist is like your Hue has reached a critical state. Like, I'm gonna have to report this. You're gonna need to get treatment soon. And Ginoza kind of reflects on how this happened to his partner. We know his old partner was Kogami, and he tells his therapist like, hey, like, just give me a little bit. Like, I think my coefficient will go down. And he talks about Akane, you know, without saying her name or anything, but he's like, we just got this new person and she has a lot of hope, and like, basically, like, maybe she can bring something to him to find, like, that piece that'll bring his coefficient down.
Yeah, the therapist's like, we need to get you help right now. And he basically walks out and is like, well, positive attitudes make for good Hues, right?
Yeah, I think it was his way to get, like, the therapist to not go tell real quick. Because he's got shit to, you know, he's got shit to do. And I think that maybe that's why his Hue has gotten so messed up, too, is because, like, he's in a rock and a hard place right now.
I mean, this therapist only has, like, what, 8 police officers to deal with in this whole building? Because there's only 2 teams.
Yeah,
so he's got not much to report. He's like, I gotta report what I gotta report, dude.
Yeah. So then we flash over to Kogami. He takes instead of like the car, which I feel like would have been the smarter option, he took the motorcycle, which is the cooler option, I guess. And he goes over to Professor Saiga's house. Sorry. We all know that Professor Saiga's off the grid and everything, so that's probably a safe house than Makaoka's.
I do think he took the motorcycle because he's gotta keep wearing this helmet, because if he's not wearing this helmet, he might get randomly scanned. So like, a helmet blends in with a motorcycle, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know, like, I don't understand all the technology in it, so I'm gonna go, yeah, we can go with that. You have a good theory.
Okay, thanks.
So then we flash back to our team. We're kind of going to go back and forth a lot. You guys already know how it is. Ginoza kind of announces to everybody. Everybody already knows. It wasn't new. But he announces to everybody that Kogami escaped and that the orders for the team is to pretty much do what they have to do. Like, when they see Kogami, you know, it's, you got to judge him. And Akane, she comes in. She's all stiff. She's pissed off.
Well, she just got that letter.
Yeah, she just got the letter. She's pissed about, like, the whole situation. It's almost like she's a totally different person, and she's arguing back with Ginoza, and to, you know, she's like, I see the irony, like, in the fact that we have to bring in Makishima alive, yet we're ordered to kill Kogami.
And I like that she's saying this out loud. It's like what everyone's thinking. Everyone's thinking this.
Totally. Because, like, I mean, Makishima's, like, a killer. I think she even, like, emphasized it. Like, she was like, Kogami's only a latent criminal. So he hasn't committed any actual crimes. And then versus Makishima, who's, you know, killed all these people. But some reason Makishima's the one that gets taken in alive.
I mean, it's all a whole bunch of nonsense. If everyone is not, like, something is extremely wrong, I don't know. Everyone should just be like, something is extremely wrong here. This, nothing makes sense anymore. In this past, what, ever since Akane got here, this craziness has happened?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that was kind of her, like, yeah, this is, like, something is messed up. Like, I think that kind of shook her faith in the system a little bit. Not enough to want to kill Makishima for some reason, but I think maybe, like, to me, when I was watching this the first time around, I felt like she was suspicious of Ginoza.
That Akane was suspicious of Ginoza?
Yeah, because it's hard to tell, except, like, as the viewer, like, we see, you know, Ginoza struggling with things, but, I mean, imagine from their perspective, Ginoza goes, meets with the chief. Ginoza's the one, because earlier, when, before Akane made him do that promise, Kogami told her, like, hey, that report Ginoza submitted, he, like, it's altered. It doesn't talk about, like, what happened to the Dominator in Makishima. So I feel like that she has in her head, like, okay, yeah, now, like, things are going wrong.
I mean, if I was her, I definitely would be like, I wouldn't think Ginoza is, like, a traitor. I would think, though, he is, like, in the chief's pocket.
Mm-hmm. That's a, I mean, that's just the vibe I got. It doesn't go, I mean, I don't know why I brought it up. It doesn't go anywhere past that, but it is kind of how they, like, frame it in this. So,
I have Akane visits Shion, but I don't know if that happens before or after your next thing.
Oh, maybe it's before. I probably just didn't think it was. Go ahead. You can go there.
Oh, well, I don't even know. I mean, Akane talks to Shion. No. That's basically it. And they have a great chat. Shion doesn't hit on her at all, so Akane's not her type.
So Ginoza goes to the chief. Because, like, there's an order out right now. Like, if you see Kogami, then you shoot and you kill him. Like, I'm guessing that they think, like, maybe his, because he committed this crime, that his coefficient would be high enough. But Ginoza goes to the chief and he's like, I want us to be in charge of Kogami's manhunt. And the chief is basically like, nah, like, we gotta focus on Makishima. Like, the whole point is to bring Makishima alive. And Ginoza tells the chief, like, that's who Kogami's going after. So we might as well just combine the two. And she luckily, relents on that. And she's like, okay. Makaoka is not happy about this. Like, he's like, I can't even believe that you went in and did that. Like, you're gonna get yourself in trouble.
I feel like after we found out the reveal that it's his father, I don't know, are they purposely setting up these moments where it's like a father watching out for his son, or do you think that I'm reading too much into it?
No, I do think that they should we talk about it later? I do think they purposely do this.
I mean, they're set up. They're set up, but
they're setting us up. They really are.
I just mean, before the reveal, it just feels like they're never talking to each other. Mm-hmm. They're barely saying, it's like little quips here and there, but now they're having, like, full on, like, advice conversations.
And I wonder if it's, you know, maybe just to give, like, the creators a chance, if it's just because, like, you know, this is something they haven't encountered before, and Ginoza's really hitting a wall reaching out. So we do see, like, so Ginoza lashes out at Makaoka and he's like, you helped him escape. Like, I know you helped him escape, but Makaoka's not gonna admit anything. And, you know, he says, you know, everyone leaves me for the other side of the law. So I feel like there's a lot of, like, hurt in Ginoza, and I feel like he's even offended, like, maybe even jealous of Kogami, because Makaoka, like, helped him out while telling him, hey, you be the ball and go with the grain.
This really made me, like, feel for Ginoza. Just when he said that, you know, everyone leaves me for the other side of the law, I was just like, man, his father is no longer, well, his father's there, I guess they're not there,
but he wasn't, like, there when he was growing up, because he was in jail or whatever.
Yeah, and it just must be tough that it happened to his father, and that he knows that. And then I guess Kogami is, like, his, I would assume they were really good friends, almost best friends.
Yeah.
Since they were partners. I always assume if you're police partners, you're, like, best of friends. But to have the same thing happen to your best friend that happened to your father, and mm-hmm. then just, like, you're letting, I don't know, you're chasing for justice or whatever you think justice is taking you away from me. And you said that that's more important than me.
Yeah.
And it's just sad.
Well, and then it's that Makaoka would, like, undermine him. Because doing that hurts Ginoza. That's, like, another person that's escaped under his watch. So, yeah, I could totally see, like, I did feel for him in this. in this moment.
Do you think Ginoza would have like helped him escape
if he came to him? No, I think
like no relationship there.
No, not that there's no relationship, you know, but I feel like Ginoza's still trying. He's still trying to play this game, right? Like he's still trying to rise up in the police force. So no, he wasn't gonna help him escape. But I do feel like that he sees how Makaoka and Kogami have this. It's a very like us versus them, right? Like it's the enforcer versus the detectives. So like you're watching your father just like side with basically another son, like fathering another son almost, you know.
I mean, though, he does call his dad a dog in the first episode. He's like, these are dogs, they're not humans at all, they're just like tools, they're hunting dogs, they're tools for us. That's your dad. You can't just even like, if you don't even refer to it as your dad, you can't just be like, that's Makaoka.
I mean, like his dad caused a lot of hurt, you know. Like his dad, I mean, pretty much chose his job and let himself, you know, get angry over their family. And then in doing that, like when Ginoza was growing up, that was like somebody having a bad crime coefficient in your family was dishonoring like the whole family. So I see why there's a lot of anger and why he views his dad as like, yeah, you're just this dog, you're nobody. But I mean, that's still your dad in the end.
I don't know. I just feel like dogs are gonna help dogs, you know, in this crazy world, dogs are gonna like help each other. So he helped a friend.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for Makaoka, but I'm saying from Gina's perspective, like you don't want to feel on the other side of your father, not truly, like not deep down. As much as he like wants to act like it, I feel like deep down that's not what he wants. In the meantime, we see the chief is like behind her desk and seems to be like, you know, like talking. She's obviously talking to the other brains, and she's like, yo, like I don't like to fully comprehend this, I need to go back in. And so this chief is scheming something. And then we flash over to the professor again. They did a lot of like where they were trying to analyze Makishima, and I felt like this was kind of useless, but then they use it against Makishima later, so I'm gonna bring it up. But they kind of say like, well, something must have happened to him as a child, like he felt left out as a child or something, and then that was like his turning point. So there's that little nugget.
I thought that this was gonna be like a Ginoza Makishima kind of relating thing, like we are both abandoned by like our fam, like the world, I guess. But nothing,
you mean
really
Kogami and Makishima?
No, because we get into all this Ginoza stuff about him and his father leaving him and his partner leaving him for because of the civil system, basically. And yeah, then Makishima being abandoned because of the civil system, like not abandoned, but like the civil system doesn't even register him.
Yeah, I think it was just like a, I don't know, I feel like the scene was just like because they're trying to figure out what his motive is. And I feel like if they just gave it to us right off the bat, or if like Kogami just like figured it out real quick, that would have been like too fast. So they dove into this whole like profiling, and it felt like a real big setup to compare Kogami to Makishima.
Yeah, he's like, the professor is basically like telling him, you guys think the same, so kind of think how you think. My takeaway though from this whole scene was, well, before they go to the computer, was damn, anime omelets look so delicious, and I want an omelet right now.
I know. I've tried to make that kind of, I forget what it's called, but it's that like that runny one, the one that you can cut open over the rice. That's what he made. They're really hard to make.
It looked so good. It made me hungry.
It yeah. So the computer scene we're talking about is the professor like reveals that he's part of this underground like website where like pretty much people that were in the professions that got taken away because of the civil system, they use this website to vent and rant and everything. And he had made a post on there that he thought might attract Makishima or give them some hint on what his next move is. And he tells Kogami to go ahead and look at it, and like he says like see which one, because he said like it basically looks like they're all just making jokes. And so he's like, why don't you see which one is the funniest? And
it's basically Reddit. He's like, yeah, surf through Reddit real quick and tell me what you find.
Pretty much. And what Kogami finds is this person is talking about the hyper oats, and they're saying like, so hyper oats are like the base, like this is like the what feeds the world, because remember they have like, you know, those weird computery like foods and stuff, so that's their whole food system in this. And apparently we find out that the whole thing is automated at this point. There's no farmers. That whole industry got wiped out. And, you know, a single virus, like however they did these oats, there's like a flaw in the DNA or whatever. And if you tweak it a little bit, it could create this virus that would wipe out all the oats, which would wipe out their entire food system.
And again, like, flaw in the system. No one is thinking about this.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think that they even pointed out themselves, like, they were like, well, by automating it, like, you just left it pretty much open. Like, if somebody was able to get in there and hack it, you know, what a just like a weird thing to rely on, like, one thing so heavily.
And then I don't know if this is a plot twist or not, but when Kogami is like leaving the professor's house, he's like, I forgot what they say, but basically the professor's like, you know, you were a great student. And oh, we find out he was a former student. Oh, is that ahead? Do you have something in between that?
No, I was gonna say we already knew he was a former student.
We did? When?
Yeah. When he took Akane.
I must have blacked out. Did something traumatic happen right before that moment?
I don't know. Maybe. I think, I don't remember, but
did Rikio make a, like, did she make a picture? Did she murder someone?
Yeah, I think we either, like, they were at the jail. They were at the prison and they, like, showed a picture. I don't know. I don't remember.
Something traumatic happened and I blocked it out.
Yeah, we already knew he was a student.
Surprise to me.
But he did say, I do kind of like the professor because he was like, man, like, when somebody come, when, like, one of the bureaucrats come by, they're probably going to take me in because his crime coefficient is going to show. However it does, I feel like, to me, I would be calm, like, if my friend, if I helped out a friend, but he feels like that his crime coefficient's gonna go up because he helped Kogami out. But he's willing to do this because he wants to see Kogami take this guy down.
And when he says that, does he mean just like if someone's investigating because they're like former student, probably check out his professor? Or is it, no, like, I think does they, he get checkups every somebody. Now and then?
Yeah, I think he gets checkups because he's, like, pretty much off the grid. He even says, like, it's kind of my punishment for, you know, reclusing from the world and detaching myself from other people.
But I feel like the freakiest thing happens at the very end of this episode with Akane. And she's just, like, in her office. And then the gun robot, like, kind of just wheels itself in through the door and, like, opens up with the Dominators in there. And I was like, well, there goes our main character.
No, but instead, when she picks up the Dominator, it tells her, hey, like, we're gonna tell you the truth about everything. And that's where this episode ends.
Yeah, a lot of cliffhangers these few episodes.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I guess that leads us into episode 20, where Justice Lies. Akane is told the truth about the Sybil system, and she uses her detective skills to catch up to Kogami and Makishima.
So in these episodes, it's going to be a lot of Makishima making his move, and then Kogami making his move, and then the team making his move. So if it feels like we're backtracking a lot, that's just how the episodes were set up for us. So I just wanted to give that little warning at the head of this.
Okay, did you think, so Akane is learning the truth about the Sybil system. Did you think it was like we were sending it to you, to your brain, because she was kind of just in there? Or no, did the gun lead her all the way over to the other building?
Yeah, the gun took her, like, she was in that car, she went all the way to back to Noka Tower, and then she went down into the basement to, like, see, like, she saw the brains
at first, because we don't or did we see her and I missed it? Did we see her drive there? Because we see her driving back, but I never saw her drive there. So I thought it was like, you know, kind of, we're gonna implant your mind and, like, send you flashes.
No,
like,
to me, I think it's just behind the scenes stuff. Like, do we really need to see her drive there?
I mean, did we need to see her drive back?
Well, yeah, because then it set up for her for other stuff.
I don't know. I feel like the drive, I don't know. Okay. I thought she wasn't there.
No. Yeah, she was physically there. And so she's having, like, that conversation, which it's a long explanation, but they pretty much revealed to her the how the brains work. And then we flash over to Makishima. And he is with this, and I never caught who this dude was exactly, but he was, like, this important guy that was, like, an expert on the hyper oats. And he's trying to find out information, and then it gets a little more sinister when he starts asking about the antivirus system, and the dude's like, well, what do you want that for? And the camera kind of pans, and we see, like, Makishima has the knife behind his back,
which is because I believe that what I took away from this was that guy was the creator of hyper oats or something, because he's just basically living off of his money or, like, whatever royalties are coming in.
Yeah, he's retired. I couldn't tell if he was, like, like the creator of it or if he was just like a big part of it or whatever, but he's definitely the dude that knows the most about Hyper Oats.
Also, why we let just strangers into our house? Like,
He seemed kind of full of himself. Like, he seemed like he wants to, like, you know, brag about his accomplishments. Also, Makishima's very charming.
Like, I guess, but there's that point where Makishima's like, you know, that building is fully automated. I bet your fingerprints are still on file. And like, well, goodbye, Hyper Oats guy.
Yeah, no, once he starts getting there, that's where the Hyper Oats guy gets a little suspicious. And then we know, we don't have to see what happens. We know what's going to happen to him. But we do see Kogami gets to the house and the Oats guy is already dead and he's all mutilated and everything. So this is where we see kind of like Kogami's right on Makishima's heels on this.
I mean, like, what would he be like, an hour behind him or something?
Yeah, I don't know how long it takes.
Fresh body, it feels like.
Yeah, it's pretty fresh. I don't know how long it takes Makishima to do like what he did, but he got there pretty quick. So so then we flash back over to Akane, and she now knows the truth about the Sybil system, and the brains, they pretty much tell her like, we picked you because, like, so she's mad, right? So she's like, this is where Kagari died, like, you didn't have to do that. She's pissed off. She's kind of like going back and forth. The brains are ultimately like, we picked you because we know, you know, based off of your personality and your hues and everything, that you're not going to reveal our secret because you want to maintain order in society just as much as we do. And ultimately, they believe that she's the best person to lead the team to make sure that Makishima comes in alive.
Okay, did we know this already, that all the brains were like crazy murderers? I thought it was just a few of the brains were crazy murderers, and then there were some other people in that. But they're basically like, all of us are murderers, basically.
Yeah, because you don't like to listen to like the big speeches with Makishima, so that's what they had explained to Makishima when they were on the plane.
I thought they were just like, a few of us are murderers. We're, you know, to mix it up, you throw some murderers in there. But when they're talking to Kane, they're like, the 240 brains in here are all psycho murderer brains.
Yeah, I mean, they do say that they're all like Makishima is, whether it's like that they're all killers or whatever. I think it's just maybe it's a majority of these people tend to become killers or something.
I just thought it was people who had special like hues. Like, well, Akane, I don't think Akane is going to go out and murder people.
No, but if you remember, they did say that you have to, like, one of the requirements was that you look at humans the same way that you look at cattle, and like only like psychotic people would look at humans like that and view like lives so indispensable, because the whole point is that they don't have these emotions or this empathy towards other people when they make these judgments. They just make these clean judgments.
And I wish that I really wish that Akane wasn't like so trusting in the system, and she was just like acting like she was, but you could tell that she was like, I'm conflicted now. Well, I feel like I would be like, this is insane, we can't let murderers judge us.
Yeah, but she does still have, that strong moral. And she even said, like, all of you should have been judged, and you will be at some point. Like, because you were murderers or whatever you are, you know, she feels like everybody should have gone through some kind of trial.
And I don't know if you want to talk about this scene, but we get another flashback. And I just love that Akane's flashback, this is a flashback. Akane's flashback to her and her friends is them eating lunch at the same exact spot that they always eat lunch at.
I know. I feel like the flashbacks were a little, so the first flashback is Akane with her friends back when they were finding out their jobs or whatever, and yeah, I was like, it's the same freaking restaurant. Did they just go to the same restaurant to hang out all the time? Do we need a restaurant that we go to? Do we need a place? I feel like we need a place. Is this like Friends?
We used to drink a lot at, what is it, Brass Tap. Maybe we should start drinking there more.
I know, but I wanted to not drink so much. We need like a place to, like, I guess
chill. As we host a cocktail drinking anime podcast.
I guess we had that because we play Pokemon Go, you guys. So there's a spot in, I don't want to reveal where we live.
Oh, are you talking about the pizza place?
No, I hate that fucking place. I really don't like that too much.
Oh, but you should say that. We're always suggesting it.
I'm just like, because I don't have better suggestions. I just go with it. No, Star Coffee.
Oh, that doesn't exist anymore.
I know it doesn't, but I feel like that was our place. Because that was like, we call it like the Four Corners because there's Pokestops that are within reach from like the area at literally like Four Corners. That used to be our spot, I feel like.
It got replaced with like a lesser thing.
Like a chain coffee place.
Yeah.
Yep. Boo capitalism.
Maybe it's run by brains.
Maybe. So, I mean, Kana goes through these flashbacks, and then she also flashes back to, like, her conversation with Kagari, except this time it's a little bit different. Like, because remember, the first time that she talked to Kagari, he got, like, mad at her about all her choices, like, where she was struggling with these choices. So this one went a little different, where she's like, why was I given these choices? Or, like, why was this an opportunity for me? I think she has basically, it's like a hallucination, or she's going into her own mind and wrestling with all this information that she's been given. Because then she has this imaginary conversation with Makishima. And to me, the whole point of these scenes was that it was just a representation of her morals and figuring out where she's going to stand with all of this.
For me, it just felt like the people were like, we got 10 minutes we need to fill. Let's let Akane hallucinate for a while. At the end of this, I was like, well, I didn't really learn more about Akane than I didn't know already.
Yeah, we pretty much just learned that she's going to stand with her convictions even harder. So that's kind of where that ended. In the meantime, Ginza and the team, they get information about the oak guy being dead, and that Kogami's fingerprints are also at the scene. So they're all kind of like, ooh, what has Kogami done? And they call Akane. They're like, where are you? Kind of thing. So when they get to the scene, Akane shows up late, and but she kind of just busts in there. She's got a plan.
Well, because we find out,
yeah,
what happens at the end of this episode. But she goes, I've been loving this evolution of Akane, of her as a more take charge, and it seems like she's actually picked up some really good detective skills from them.
Yeah, she does. And I don't remember at what point this is, but basically Akane, she pulled out this trump card with the brains, and she was like, hey, like, I'll go with your thing. And that's what happened. Ginza was like yelling at her, like, where are you at? And she's like, sorry, I got called to the chief's office, you know, this and this. And then we kind of flash back, and she was like, okay, like, I'll do this. I'll do this for you guys. Go after Makishima and keep him alive in exchange for Kogami's life. And they agree.
Very hesitant, they agree. They're like, we gotta consult the other brains. We need to kind of come up with a plan. And she's like, nah, this is the deal. Mm-hmm. This or nothing.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I guess we have no choice.
Yeah, so we see, like, now Akane is just being badass. She's kicking butts and taking names. And she, like, leads that whole crime scene. And they're trying to figure out Makishima's motives. And she's like, look, if Kogami was here first, he wants us to figure it out, because he would want a backup plan. And we need to prove that we can figure it out. And she eventually finds her way to, kind of badass. She, like, reaches into this dead dude's throat and then pulls out, like, basically a thumb drive. But everybody's like grossed out by it, because they're like, hey, like, let the robots do that. And she's like, I don't have time for this. And she like shoves her hand down there.
Very, I mean, I don't know. How do you find that spot? Like, she basically like knelt down and was like, this is the spot, reached in there and grabbed it out. She didn't do any like feeling around or kind of what was going on.
No,
she's just like, it's in here.
She didn't even feel his throat. I don't know how they knew that it was a metal object. Because, like, when I first wrote my notes on it, as I was watching it, I said that there's a metal thing. And then later, like, you figure out that it's a thumb drive. So I don't remember how she comes to that conclusion. But it was very, like, suspiciously, like, she was, like, in Kogami's head. Which we do see, like, Ginza looks at her and has a little flash and sees Kogami in her.
I mean, she's become a really great detective right now. Like, I was impressed by how much she's taking charge. It feels like she's taking Ginoza's place. Like, she is the leader of this group now.
It does. And we see, like, a visual representation of that later, when they get off the plane later. Did you notice she was, like, she was the one in front, and then the other two were, like, behind her?
I didn't notice that. I noticed that she was, like, taking charge. She was on the phone. She was making the shots. She was like, what's the plan? But I guess we'll get there in a minute.
Yeah. So, basically, they listen to the audio file, and Kogami tells all of Makishima's plan and why, because when they get to the crime scene, they see that the guy's eyes were like scooped out and his fingers were cut off. And he says, like, that building has old school security where they still use biometrics, so that's why Makishima took that stuff, and this is where he's going. And at the end of the episode, we get, you know, the ending song going, and we see Makishima just easily making his way through this building using the body parts that he has. And then also Kogami is like not far behind. While Makishima's in the building, Kogami's like out in the oat fields, you know, walking up to the building.
And is this possible? Like, can someone use your like dead hand to get into places?
I don't know, but a lot of movies, like James Bond's movies and stuff like that, uses that trope.
Or like your eyeballs? Like, I don't know. I guess I don't want to know, actually.
Yeah. So I did find something weird. Have they been doing this the whole time? I think it was at the end of this episode. It's really, like, if you're watching on Funimation, Funimation almost wants to, like, skip to the next episode real quick. But they do, like, a little, almost like a warning thing where they say, like, oh, everything that's happening in here is fictional. Like, the cases are fictional and the people are fictional. Have they been doing that the whole time? And then why did they feel like they need to tell us the anime was fictional?
I don't know. Because it's giving me nightmares. So, like, this is fake, Jimsta. This is not real. Calm yourself down.
I feel like it's so weird. If you ever rewatch, like, go back, stop and watch that warning. Like, it's, and I don't know if they've done it the whole time because I don't really watch. Like, it wasn't until these episodes that there was stuff going on in the ending with, like, the credits and everything. But strange.
Man, I don't think I've noticed that. And it's just written there?
Yeah, it's like, it comes up like they're, it's like the team, they're kind of standing there, almost like mugshot looking. And then, like, the message is, like, over, like, that picture.
Huh. I might have to go back and rewatch that.
So that brings us into episode 21, Bloodstained Reward. Their team makes their way through the automated oat facility where they will face off against Makishima. So we start off, we have the team, and we see their, like, I call it a plane. It's like this, like, helicopter thing, you know, future plane. So they're flying over, and then they land on the roof. And in the meantime, we have Makishima, who's just, like, chilling there for some reason. I think he was waiting on purpose, but he's reading, you know, he's always got to do his grand, like, speeches and everything, so he's reading from the Bible. And I just thought that this one little part was interesting where he says, you know, and then his enemy sowed weeds amongst the wheat.
This feels like a thing where it's like he, like, searched the Bible for a wheat quote. He was like, where do they say wheat in the Bible? And then, yeah, I'll pick this one.
Yeah, he really loves to connect what he's doing with, like literary, like, things. It's very strange. I guess poetic of him. Maybe that's just his hobby, besides killing people.
And then everyone kind of catches up at this moment, because Kogami's not that far behind from Makishima, but then the group catches up to Kogami, because he's still in the wheat field area while they're landing on top of the building.
So he can't get in because of, like, the security there, and then of course the team can, because they're the cops, so they can go anywhere. So at this point, when Kogami sees them, like, he's a little bit proud that they got there so fast, you can tell. But he calls Akane and he's like, hey, look, like, he's gonna do this thing, you're gonna have to shut down the power. And she doesn't want to. She's like, no, if I do that, then you're gonna be able to get in and you're gonna go kill Makishima. But eventually, you know, they talk it out a little bit, and not her and Kogami, but the team. And Ginza points out, like, this is all we have. Like, you know, Makishima could be doing his plan right now, so they need to shut down the power to that facility.
And this is where I'm like, Akane is taking charge of the group, because he doesn't say it like, this is the plan, we have to shut down the power because we can't let Makishima poison the hyper oats. He's like, hey, this is the options we have, like, this is the option what we need to do. It's mm-hmm. So it's like her decision, basically.
It is. And this is the scene that I was saying, when they get off the plane, she walks off first, and then Makaoka and Ginza behind her. And, like, I feel like throughout the anime we always see Ginza up at the front, but you can definitely tell that the power is shifted.
I also feel like Ginza is, like, questioning himself a lot right now.
Yeah, I think he's you know, he's going through some shit.
I mean, his crime coefficient keeps going up.
Yeah. So then Akane mentions something, like, she says, you know, leave, if you run into Kogami, then call me, leave him to me. And, you know, they're like, why? And she's like, don't worry, I got, you know, I got this ace up my sleeve, pretty much. And we flash back. This is where that driving back scene kind of matters, because she's driving back, or on her way to the team, and she's talking to the Dominator, and she's like, hey, like, can you override the gun so that it can be set to stun? And at first it tells her no, and she's like, well, this is the only way I'm going to be able to catch Makishima alive. And so then it tells her, like, fine, we'll do it, but you just can't tell anybody.
I like this, and it makes sense. I don't know why the gun or the brains or Sybil system was like, no, nothing is effective against him. Like, using the electric batons, you're not gonna win a close-up fight with Makishima. You're gonna end up dead.
Yeah. And then it's weird, because then they start acting like, well, that's not how the Dominator works. But how many times did the chief override it, right? Like, I don't know why they care so much.
I also like to imagine that she had, like, made small talk with the gun on the way back. you know, there's got to be low points in their drive. She's like, how was your day? What have you been up to?
I guess, especially because you're not actually driving. You're just sitting there letting the car drive itself.
What music do you want to listen to?
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Or on the way up there, there had to be low points.
There really did. I don't. Unless you're just in your head thinking, I guess.
Oh, then that's the worst, like, ride-along partner. When the Dominator's like, so what are you thinking about? What's on your mind?
So what, do you want, like, a spinoff show, Akane and the Dominator?
Yeah, maybe just a short, what are they called? OVAs?
Oh, like, yeah.
Just a short OVAs. OVA. Yeah, one episode. It's just her and the Dominator driving up there.
Yeah, that would be kind of cute. Like, little chibis of them. So, anyways, we got the, they finally cut off the power. Kogumi enters the building. Makishima, he pulled out some weird thing. And so now he's making his move. He's done reading from the Bible at this point. And, of course, the team splits up.
At this moment, they were all running together. And I was thinking in my brain, oh my gosh, they're not going to split up. They're finally just going to move as a unit. And as soon as I thought that in my brain, Akane was like, we should split up.
Yes. As I was like typing the notes, I was like, of freaking course they do. Of course they do. Because it's not Psycho Pass without having multiple storylines overlap with each other.
And the way they split up is pretty, pretty interesting.
Well, so they are pretty smart about it. So Yayoi and Akane go off together. They said, because Makishima can make two moves, right? I don't remember where they were really sending Makuoka and Ginaza, but they were like, oh, he can go to one place or he can be trying to turn on the backup generator. And Yayoi is pretty good with computer stuff, and I guess the backup generator thing where they go to is like a server room looking thing or like a computer looking thing.
It looks like NASA.
Yeah, it does.
Looks like what I imagine NASA looks like.
Yeah, like all those computers kind of like facing like one way. So that's where they end up going. And Ginaza is like clearly not happy to be paired with Makuoka.
Well, because the small talk is not going to be fun. It's not Akane Dominator small talk. It's like family issues small talk.
It is. And Ginaza's still pissed, and we see that in a second. But so when Akane and Yayoi reach that emergency power place, Akane realizes like, yo, we're like, he's not here, so we must be at the wrong place. And she kind of has like this epiphany or has this realization and takes off, and she tells Yayoi to stay behind in case Makishima does end up going there. And
I really like this moment when I think it's Akane and Yayoi talking, and Yayoi's like, I trust you. Like, I trust that you would have my back and that you care about us enforcers. Which is like, I'm thinking, because we're getting close to the end of the season, of how we started. And they kind of were like, she was on the, no one would give her a keyboard that second episode. And now she's like, I trust you with my life.
Yeah, I did like that. I mean, we're skipping over a lot of talking that they do. So they did have like this little conversation where she was like, hey, are you okay? Like, since you came from the chief's place, like, you've been weird. And, you know, Akane's like in her, like, she's in her badass mindset, right? She's in her villain era right now. And she's like, so what do you think? Like, do you think that I'm like, not on your side? And so that's why that prompted her to be like, no, like, I trust you. Whatever it is that you have planned, you know, you've grown a lot as an inspector. And it's true.
And then she runs off. Well, Akane's a mile a minute. She has to be the first person to find Makishima and Kogumi, because like, that's the deal she's made.
Yeah. So then we go over to Ginaza and Makuoka, and Ginaza is continuing to question Makuoka. It's not even questioning, it's just outright like you helped him, and you know why. And this is where I talked about again, he seems jealous of Kogumi, because he's like, why do you always rely on just Kogumi to do these kinds of things? And Makuoka, you know, said, because Kogumi's already, you know, he's already down in the dirt and everything, and he didn't want to bring Ginaza down there with him.
Oh man, and this is like, it's already tugging at my heartstrings. Like, he's just like, son, I don't want you to fall down the same path as me. Like, Kogumi's already down there. I don't want you to like join us here. It's not good.
Yeah. And then Ginaza being Ginaza, you know, he's got a lot of angst going on. He's still yelling at Makuoka. So then he ends up running into a tripwire, and when he does this machinery, like, I don't know if it I don't remember, did it explode or what?
It topples over.
Yeah, it kind of just falls over, and so like this heavy machinery falls onto Ginaza, and then we have, you know, Makishima shows up, and this is where we have the showdown between Makuoka and Makishima. And they had a pretty good fight, and Makuoka ended up having the upper hand. You can tell he's stronger physically.
Yes, but Kagoshima always has like a, was it like an ace up your sleeve? Is that the saying?
Yeah.
Well, he has an ace up his sleeve.
Magaoka has Makishima in basically like, what is that? A full Nelson? Like whatever that's called. I don't know wrestling moves.
It's like a chokehold.
Yeah.
Is that a Nelson?
I don't know.
If it's not, I will insert a thing right here.
So he has him in a chokehold and Makishima pulls out like this bomb and he's like, you're not stupid enough to blow us both up. Then he's like, you're right. And he throws it towards Ginza, who's still trapped under this machinery. And Ginza's like, no, don't let him go. Don't let him go. And you see this moment where, you know, I guess he thinks about it, but then he ends up, he's forced to let go of Makishima and protect his son. And the bomb pretty much blows up in his hand.
And then at this moment, Ginza decides to use all his will to get up, ripping his arm off. Or it's not even ripping.
He gets out of
there. It's like stretched out. It's not good.
Oh, it was his leg that was under there.
Oh, was it? I thought
it was. Is that why you thought it was his arm? No, it was his leg.
Oh, I was like, it is all weird and floppy.
Yeah, so he gets himself out of the machinery at this time and he's yelling. He's like, why would you do that? What kind of inspector are you? And Makaoka says, you know, I don't even deserve to be, you know, called that title. And then his last words end up being, you know, you are my son. You have the same eyes I did back when I was young. And Ginza is like, finally calls him dad. He's like, dad, no. And I'm like tearing up just thinking about it right now.
I didn't think Psycho Pass was gonna get me.
Yeah.
And then like at this moment I screamed no, like out loud. I screamed it as soon as all this was happening. And then like I know they were setting me up for something like this because like all this father son things. They hyped up these past few episodes, but like this moment was really good. I was like, the payoff was worth it.
It was. And I knew, like, you know, like you said, you know what's happening because they're doing all these touching moments just to break your heart. So moving from that heartbreaking scene, and not only that, but all of them sees it. Well, except for Yayoi. So Kogami kind of runs in. He sees it. He's now extra pissed. And then Akane's not too far behind them either. But Kogami is chasing down Makishima. And there's like this moment. They're having like a, you know, the bad guy talk, the villain talk. And Kogami sees like Makishima's head and he takes the shot, but it turns out it was a mirror. So Makishima attacks him from behind. And meanwhile, this is where we have like Akane, you know, the episode ends with Akane kind of running into all this chaos.
I think that, well, we end on another cliffhanger. So perfect way to bring us into episode 22, which is called Perfect World. Kogami and Akane team up to go after Makishima, but it's not as easy as it seems to be. And Akane must also face the civil system.
So here we are. We're at the final episode of the season. So we have the big fight between Kogami and Makishima. And I really think that it's just something that you need to see.
This is better than the last fight that they had. It feels more evenly matched this time.
They're way more evenly matched. They have the, you know, more of a back and, well, it's not even so much of a back and forth. It's just Makishima loves to freaking talk, and it's more of him like saying, you know, we're how alike they are and that they're pretty much the same. And in the last episode, Kogami had pulled that whole like, oh, I know why you're doing this, like you were just a sad little kid and that's, you know, you're pathetic that you're doing this. And so Makishima's like, you know, how dare you kind of laugh at me for that when you're the same as me, and now you've even abandoned the one place that accepted you. So here you are, like we're on the same level, and visually they're on the same level, like their fighting is matched up. And then they have this moment where they're both about to charge into each other, and this could have been like where they kill each other, except for Akane throws one of those electric grenades between the two of them.
Okay, so that's what it was. And what was that like? Is that kind of just like a stun technique? Because, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, we saw, it's that EMP grenades that we saw them do with the riot crowd. Except I think the only reason it affected the riot crowd so bad was it was those people wearing the helmets.
But she doesn't see, I think she sees the fight clearly, but she's pointing her gun at Kogami and telling him to stop or drop the knife or something like that.
Yeah. And I think it's because Makishima had took off at this point. So she's getting Kogami to calm down. And, you know, they pretty much, they have a little discussion and she's like, no, let's team up. Let's do this together. Like, don't become another killer. And then it's kind of montage-y, but not where they're running together. And he's asking Akane, why do you care like so much that he goes to trial? Why do you want to follow the law so bad? And I kind of liked what she said in a nutshell. nutshell, this isn't a direct quote, she says that they have to protect the law to hold up, you know, the people's hopes of peace. So basically, like, the law is there to protect them. So if you're part of, like, if you're a cop and you're breaking the law, then you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and you should be trying to do that even if the system is flawed.
I don't know if I have the right quote, but I have, laws don't protect people, people protect the law.
She let out a lot of nice quotes. Like, that's why I ended up just mashing them together. So you probably do. She had, like, a whole little speech thing going on that I think, I don't know, maybe we should play at, like, police academies, because she has the right idea.
And I mean, it's true. You know, it's like society. We've all agreed on these certain rules that we need to live by. And, you know, if we don't protect those rules, then it's just chaos. So, but that doesn't really, like, justify why we're keeping Makishima alive.
No. It doesn't. I still feel like her whole speech here her whole point was like, yeah, even though stuff is messed up and the system is clearly messed up, that doesn't mean that, like, we need to become vigilantes and kill Makishima. It just means that, you know, we still needed to drag him through the system. To her, she still wants this court thing. I don't know why she hasn't clicked that they're never going to do that.
I do wish, I was, like, hoping that at this point she'd just been like, we have to keep Makishima alive because I made a deal, because I'm trying to protect you, because I care about you.
Yeah, she does. It's strange because, she, you know, remember the Dominator was like, don't tell anybody. She immediately tells Kogami, like, hey, it's set to stun, so even you can use it against him, even though, like, it should be locked for you.
And basically, like, interesting.
Yeah, he's like, that's kind of what he's like, okay. I'm not going to use that. So Makishima kind of comes, like, he almost hits them with a truck, and Akane ends up jumping on top of the, like, on the truck. She's in the back of it, and she's able to shoot the tire, and the truck crashes, and we end at a cliffhanger with that. No, we don't. I lied. I just needed to scroll to the next page.
And then episode 23.
No, just joking. Makishima crashed. Like, they crash. She's on the ground. She's hurt, right? Like, if you're in the back of the truck, you know, hanging on and it crashes, you're going to go flying off and be hurt. So she's stuck on the ground. And he walks up and he has the gun, and he tries to shoot her, but it's empty. There's no more bullets. And he's like, oh, like, you know, isn't that funny? Just, like, you know, the luck of that.
And this is the person that she needs to keep. Like, I wonder in her mind, she's like, and this is the person that I'm supposed to keep alive?
No, she's too hard-headed. She's like, gone. Just gonna stay one track mind on this.
Okay. I mean, at this point, I'm just like, man, we need to kill him now.
So I don't remember, like, if he tosses the gun or if Makishima
has. I was gonna ask this too.
Yeah, but somehow Kogami gets the gun. Like, he runs up, he sees, like, you know, she's alive, but Akane is down, and he reloads the gun, and she's like, no, don't do it. And he says, you know what, this is between me and him now. And Kogami goes after Makishima, who finally, you know, this guy seems very invincible. He's finally, like, injured, and he's, like, struggling to run away. Like, you could tell he's, like, breathing hard and limping as he's running through this, like, oat field. And he has this, like, long narrative as they're doing this, where he's saying he recognizes it's the end of the game. So he says, the thought that someone other than you could kill me, that has never crossed my mind. So to me, I feel like he knows he's at the end of the game.
I also was like, this whole monologue, I felt like he was gonna get cut off, like Kogami was gonna shoot him in the middle of this monologue. I was just bracing myself for that gunshot thing. Yeah. And I'm also like, he might just bleed out to death.
Yeah you kind of didn't know where this was going, but then he ends up, like, he gets out of the oat fields, and they're in this, like, beautiful kind of background thing where he's, you know, the sun slowly went down, and, you know, so the stars are above him, and he just falls to his knees and he looks up, and Kogami walks behind him, and this is where Akane comes in. Like, she's kind of like the narrator of this, and she says, they must have realized the moment they first laid eyes on each other, on one another, that it was always going to be them, that they were fated for this moment. And as she's talking, Kogami shoots Makishima in the head.
And at this point, I'm like, man, she's very romanticized this. I feel like it's just a detective and a bad guy going after each other. Well, and she's like, destiny has brought these two.
She does. She says, like, they're not just, like, passing ships, you know, in this and that. But I mean, Makishima had also said, like, oh, are you gonna replace me after I'm gone? And Kogami's like, I don't know. I hope not.
I just feel like Akane and Makishima are more like destined. Someone whose hue can't be changed that well to someone whose crime coefficient never fluctuates. That seems more of a destined to go head to head. But Makishima is just like a really good detective.
I know. Like Makishima. No.
Kogami.
Yeah, you threw me off. Kogami, like, so they both really didn't know about each other. Like, it wasn't until Makishima had seen Kogami in the camera of, with the whole specimen case stuff. So, I don't know at what point, like, they're saying, like, oh, I guess the moment they met. I think they're talking about, because remember, we opened up with them fighting. That was, like, the first episode. Like, it feels like you're missing something. We opened up with that. And I think she says the same speech there, where she said they must have realized the moment they first laid eyes on one another. So I think everything is circling around.
I don't know. Also, Akane, you've only known these people for like what, a month?
Yeah, none of these people have known each other that long, but it's all fate.
Okay, well, whatever helps her sleep at night.
So it's not yet. So Sybil, Akane's now with the Sybil system. She's in front of all the brains or whatever, and she's like basically like, well, what are you gonna do now that I failed you? And like, man, they seem kind of different, you know, from what they were before, but they were like, like, we're gonna lower our valuation of you, but you still have purpose for us. And it's a big long speech, and they basically break it down to that she's the ideal human, and that they want her to be the example of like what other people should be, and that they want to lift the curtain and reveal that who they are, and they want to study Akane to figure out how to win the people on their side.
And this whole point, I'm like, if you tell me my whole government's just giant brain, or like, not giant brains, just like a lot of brains running it, I don't know if that's never not gonna freak me out.
Same. I don't think that they're, and I think she says the same thing, like, because remember when she was having the flashbacks with her friends, or the hallucination and everything, it ended up, the last thing that she saw was the girl that got killed, and she asked this hypothetical question to her hallucination, do you think you would have been happy if you had continued to live? And she had said like, oh, if I had been able to like make choices, or like, if, you know, basically if they were free from the system. So for Akane's point of view, she's like, we can never, like, nobody is ever going to be happy and live under this, as long as you're taking all these choices away from people.
And she kind of leaves there being like, one day you'll get yours, Sybil system.
Yeah, and they find it amusing. Like, they think she's funny. So then we go to 2 months later. We have Ginaza at Makaoka's grave, and he's saying his crime coefficient is now too high, and he's now going to become an unfortunate. And then note, he doesn't have his glasses on either through this. And I feel like I always thought Ginaza was attractive, like with glasses. I like glasses characters. But upped the attractiveness without it, without the glasses and a little bit longer hair. He looks so much more relaxed.
I also like, she's like, or so he's at the grave. Also, did you notice how many like bottles there were at Makaoka's grave?
Yes, because they have to honor his alcoholism.
And he gets in the car, and Akane's like, driving him back home or to the police station, wherever they're going. She's like, you're not wearing your glasses anymore. And basically he's like, I just didn't like the way my face looked, or something, like my eyes.
No,
I didn't like my eyes.
Yeah, that's significant.
Oh, is it because he has the same eyes as his dad?
It's his dad. Yeah. So okay. He was hiding his face, you know, behind those glasses because he didn't want to look like his father.
I don't know. I just took it as like strange.
Oh no, I was like, aw, like now he's finally gotten rid of it because he's accepted that he's his father's son.
I was gonna say Kogami is out in the wild.
Yeah, so they kind of do this like wrap-up conversation. She doesn't mention that there's gonna be a new inspector. Then they talk about like what's gonna happen to Kogami, and Ginaza does this, you know, because he's always comparing them to dogs, but now he's like, now that the collar is off, he's basically like a wolf, you know, out in the wild.
I am interested to see like what happens to him. I wonder if he's in season 2 or not.
Well, let's finish this and then I'll say what I want to say about that. So we end the show exactly the same way, you know, that we began, and the new enforcer comes up. It's raining, you know, it's almost like shot for shot, but you know, roles are reversed. And except for this time, when Akane is talking about the enforcers, she says, you know, that they're humans, these are humans that, you know, will be working with us, and you know, channel. They'll be making different choices than us, and you just have to remember who they are while you work with them. And she kind of, she almost mimics what Ginaza said to her, almost like word for word after that, on like, you know, this is a shitty day for you to join us kind of thing.
And so it's raining that day too.
Yeah, it comes to a full circle. And then what I do find weird is, I don't ever understand this in animes. Whenever we have like women in power, they still call them sir. Like, the person saying like, oh, yes, sir. And they do that in like all animes. And I don't understand why, because like in real life, like when you're in the military, I don't know, maybe it's like Japan. Maybe Japan's different. But like when you're in the military, I don't like, yeah, I've never called a woman sir. You say yes, ma'am. Like, it's still the same. Like, I feel like sir doesn't hold more power than ma'am does.
I didn't understand that either. I didn't question it. I was like, this is the last scene of the show.
Yeah. So what I do want to say is, I won't tell you if he's there or not in season two, but I do feel like season two is weaker than season one on this one.
It looks like it's just as many episodes though, when I kind of look through it.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but it's not as good as season one is.
Well, we'll see. I have been watching almost all the seasons of the shows we just watched, so I might just have to add this.
Oh yeah, me personally, I do not want to. I remember it pissing me off, and I feel like Akane fumbles a little more. Like, you saw her be all badass at the end of this, and then now it's like her struggling. I think it's been a while, but I do know that season two is. I kind of wish they didn't do it.
It feels like season two should focus on the new girl and like, yep, Akane take Ginazan's place.
Should.
We'll see. But like we do at the end of every episode, we rate the anime or the episode we just watched. But since this is the ending of the season, we rate the whole anime between a scale of 1 to 5 shots. So how many shots do you give season one of Psycho Pass?
I give it 4 shots. If it's my aesthetic, I love true crimes anyways. And I feel like it got us in, it keeps you entranced enough. Like, it keeps you wanting to watch it.
I want to give this 3 shots, but I think I'm going to give it 4 shots.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I can tell you didn't like this as much as you have the other ones.
It's definitely not in my wheelhouse, but the like whole father son thing at the end, that was really nice. I enjoyed that. I've been enjoying the cliffhangers. Like, once we got past the murder girl and her art, I kind of was like feeling it more.
Yeah, it definitely ends way stronger than it begins. And I mean, for me too, I love the animation style, and it has a lot of beautiful, like, if I could get artwork of like certain scenes, I would pay for it.
I definitely could say that I would recommend this anime to friends. If you like procedural and like law kind of shows or detective shows, this is definitely up your alley. Like, there is some crazy murder stuff going on, but overall this felt like a great detective show.
Definitely, I agree.
Well, since we wrapped up Psycho Path, that means for the month of May we have a new anime, and it's my pick. And I did leave a little clue on Instagram and Twitter. I don't know if you saw it, Allie.
Yeah, you do know if I saw it. I texted you.
I know. I'm playing like we didn't text each other. I'm trying to like hide how the like product is made, but...
Oh, I mean, I definitely think that it was more than a clue. It was a whole giveaway. So if you follow us on our Twitter, you might already know.
Well, what do you think the anime is?
I think it's going to be My Hero.
Well, you would think that, but you're wrong. Because this might be a surprise to people, but my favorite genre of anime, like yours is like horror. Mine is sports animes. I love a sports anime.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. So hope you like rugby, because the anime that I picked is called All Out. And it's about a high school rugby team. I see your excitement.
I know. I'm so excited.
Also, it's going to be the longest anime we've done. It's 25 episodes long. But they go by really fast. You're going to watch it. You might not even want to stop watching it.
Yeah, who knows? It's not my normal wheelhouse, but that's what the show's about. Let's give it a shot.
But I did want to pick a sports anime, and I didn't want to pick like the super popular one. I can't remember its name, but it's that volleyball one that everyone's watching right now. But I wanted to pick one that I enjoyed watching a while back. So the anime is called All Out. You can catch it on Funimation, and we'll be watching episodes 1 through 6 next week. So like always, you can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, or Twitter. They're all at the Anime Bar. And cheers! Kagemushin no Jutsu!